Neşesiz, dağıtıcı bir sonun, dolan peşe sancıdan romalan yol. Valla zı maşuna gitadan gün bir sinci tamcici tövdü. Tocalana men bayan da bozu bir sancici kumbarın bıcı gidici tabu şakı. Kı tabu şakı çiğdü. Tam bir çiğörüm bıcı seyine bir kulun şancici semci. Sıya sembe gönü sen bırakıyorum.
We must all strive to accomplish complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. It's for that reason we should cultivate the altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation, and with that kind of motivation we should all participate in this teaching.
Oh, nice.
Whether we have been in Dharma or spirituality for a long time, or we are very new to Dharma, I think it's very important for all of us to often contemplate why we are engaging in spirituality. In other words, what is the purpose of our cultivating our spirituality?
Well, that's
If we don't see the importance of spirituality or Dharma in our life, and we don't have good reasons to establish why we need spirituality in our life, then I think it would not be easy for us to engage in spirituality. Let me say this, that the universe or external environment that we all sentient beings live in, as well as we as sentient beings, the inhabitants of the universe, all of us are outcomes of both collective and individual karmic actions that we have accumulated.
So that lesia the ne rara shi ane sinji shi stop in le tang rara su su stop le manda to ta ni ndu si ya des.
In other words, what I'm trying to get across to you is this, that when we talk of karma, karmic action, we can talk about two types of karmic action. Of course, we can classify karma into many different ways. One of the ways, from a broader perspective, to classify karma is into two types. There's what we call, in Tibetan, chi karma, collective karma, collective karmic action. And then there is what we call individual karma, or sort of a personal karma.
Dayan karma se yedi sansi gidi kentir yedi yeri sevna ngaran su ta le sing do action sing do vachran ting yeba da haku gama diya karma se dizen ki nangpe ni misi yaka language indi ki mento samte samji amaris.
When we use the term karma, of course, it is a Sanskrit term, and in Tibetan, we translate it as le, and in English, literally, it means action. So we are basically talking about you know, actions that we accumulate either collectively and or individually. So one must not be caught up with just the use of the language. It's like a karma. So when you hear the term karma, you know, don't think like, well, that must be something, you know, Buddhist believe in or has something to do with, you know, this, you know, Buddhism. That has nothing to do with me. No, we are basically talking about ourselves, actions that we undertake.
No, no. That's the condition of how progress is. 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 Nungpa mazhaa kaa mungpa mkibundu wasi. Di yini shii nhoji, nhoji gyoba tang, nanda sengjii ki dedu tunzu chuni nyanggu yamar, si nyanggu mundu wasi, taha kogundu wasi.
If we, you know, take a moment to think about all types of experiences that we, you know, as people, or for that matter as sentient beings, go through living within this human society, we are all part of this world. But then within this world, we have you know, many different countries. And each country may have its own unique you know, environmental characteristics, for example, or unique cultures and unique way of thinking. And as we know that all of us do not necessarily experience the same kind of, how should I say, the same kind of experiences. So we differ in many ways from each other in terms of where we live, and in what kind of society we live, and what kind of experiences we go through.
Lungba kaki kita, zambeli lungba kaki le, ane kovan zebo, ane ti na le dengi mitun ta sinchi sun, kandi kini na ya tanzo le pe, ane cawa mepa, hle yangu sin le dengi chwe tanzo le was.
And in some parts of the world, the environments are extremely beautiful, and you know, the you know, people who live in those areas, and also the animals, you know, they live very peacefully without hurting one another.
Ta kai lomba kaki len saro doro shi sacha zupo sacha zupo dosa sacha zupo ta ka na yi ge chi ani na lo de ge chule ani shi de me ba.
Whereas in other parts of the world, you know, the environment itself is, you know, very challenging, very difficult. It is, you know, very rugged kind of environment, and in many ways, you know, sort of almost inhospitable. And then people who live there, and animals who live there as well, you know, they do not have peace. You know, it's as if, you know, they all constantly live under fear and threat. Maybe the wars are going on, or there are all kinds of conflicts, you know, going on. And so we do see these differences in within our own world system.
So that tendega na le pe ni na ya ta ya su su ni re su su rang tho la ya ki bo de bo yong ke ta ki so bo si de thwa ta tendi ya ma da ni yong do was si ta lung ba pe ni ka so bo de ni ya su su mi se ke si se da bo su su ni pe de bo ta so bo de thwa tendi yong do was ma thong do was.
So at a societal level, you know, we do find such differences, you know, among ourselves. There are certain societies, you know, they have very beautiful land, beautiful, you know, environment, and people who live in those, you know, lands, relatively speaking, they have peace. And, okay, now I do know that, the, you know, there is a child there, I think. there is, you know, peace, and you know, people, you know, do not seem to hurt each other. But in other kind of society, at a societal level, you see, the whole environment is fraught with conflicts and, you know, wars, and, you know, people have no peace. They constantly live under threat and danger, and so we see those things at a societal level. So, which is basically due to, in some sense, collective karmas that people in different areas have accumulated. But then within each of these situations which I just mentioned, we do find individuals who do not seem to be affected at their level by whatever is happening at the larger societal level. In other words, in areas where so much danger, so much risk, but there are individuals, it seems like their life is still relatively peaceful, they are not threatened, Or in some good areas where everybody seems to be having a good time, but certain individuals, it's like, all the miseries have fallen on them. So, I mean, those things are again due to one's individual or what we call personal karma. So this is how, at a very, gross level, I could say that how the collective karma and individual karma play out.
So, lay mandrawa stopping, Sheba Bhutiki, those in this Quebeto, Queba Golden Drobo, and any, the name Mandra Yuntu Maros. The name Mavish and Susu Susu, and the Pena, the Duke Zangi Kandiki, and Susu Tola, Yombatan as a Hako, the Chetza, Susu Ran Susu, Le Santi, Nami, the Ran Sole, Susule, Yongo Yavate, Yavado, Shebashev.
I mean, based on our own, experiences, we do see those differences, and we must understand that all those experiences people go through, both good and bad, a lot of this has to do with, not a lot of them, they have to do it with their collective and individual, karmas or karmic actions, because as we often talk about, karma has many different aspects or dimensions. So, we experience results according to the type of karma that we create and accumulate. So that's what we call the results corresponding to their causes, to use the technical language. And so what these things tell us is that there isn't somebody out there or something that is what we call a creator. As if there's one creator and creating all this stuff, that can be. If everything has been created by the creator, meaning only one creator, then all things should be equal, right? But whereas things are not. So people are in different environments, go through different experiences. So this tells us that all these things have to do with, we as peoples are collective and individual karmas. It has nothing to do with somebody out there, creating all of us and then making us go through all the stuff. If somebody is there or whatever that, person is or that thing is or that object is or that principle is, whatever you want to call it, the creator, then these differences couldn't exist. We should all be same. But at a very basic level, we are all same in that. What do we really want? We want peace, happiness, and goodness. What do we really don't want? All of us don't want any kind of pain, suffering, problem, difficulties. So we are all same, in those respects. So as we recognize that all of us have the same wishes, if you will, we wish for peace, happiness, prosperity, goodness, success. We do not wish for any kind of problem, difficulties, pain, suffering. Then we must understand that, we need to engage in actions accordingly. You see, because the things we experience, good and bad, happiness and suffering, peace and, you know, war, all of this are outcomes of, you know, certain causes. So if we don't want any kind of misery or suffering or pain, then what we really need to do is we need to purify ourselves of negative or bad karmas that we have accumulated from the past. And then we must also resolve not to create any new negative karmas, and it is through these processes that we are able to put an end to suffering that we don't want.
So that rang debu de kibu yag jute yang te yang ta kibu chabu ta kanji rang kyu dugur kyu dube yina rang kyu sheba se kyu ta nyu kyu nyamsana se na dube tene nyamsana se gyo so ta ti sheba yina ti nyiga tugur dikwa te nyama saige zupa mehba zoya tang ane अने गेवे रित जो सुसुल कीब देवत कीब यहाँ का जुते तो सागर सिसा छे डुए के फर्स्ट का तात यंदा चिंबो ये भी जुते तो तो सरे इस
On the other hand, as I mentioned earlier, all of us are seeking happiness, goodness, peace, and for that we need to accumulate positive karmic actions or good karmas. So basically what I'm talking about here is, you know, why we need dharma or spirituality in our life. Of course, first we need to educate ourselves in dharma, spirituality, and once we have gained the knowledge, understanding of dharma, that is even more important for us to implement dharma, to put it into practice, to cultivate it. So by pursuing dharma through study and practice, that we are able to purify ourselves of all the negativities and defilements which otherwise could bring us suffering, and we are able to accumulate positive actions and also cultivate wisdom which will bring us happiness and peace and all types of goodness.
So that the condition Dugu in the Sayang, Papa Sang, that was cursing the condition in the Dutan condition, Dugu in some, that Jackie Dugu, Mongo Yoris, then that Dor Dugu in. Yela nebe ritan majebashi. Rang lutan mata yisunke. Yela nea ritan majebashi. Tati never do a pangu.
So, if dharma is so important in our life, then of course, you know, we can ask, you know, how can I practice dharma? What does it mean to practice dharma, to cultivate dharma? Well, of course, we can talk about practicing dharma at a very simple level or at a very vast and profound level. But at a very basic level, what we are talking about here is to practice dharma means, at the minimum, if you will, we must not harm anybody. We must not hurt anyone. What do we mean? We must not, you see, use our body, speech and mind, our actions of body, speech and mind to bring harm to other sentient beings. So that is a part of our dharma practice.
Of
course, I mean, the best thing would be, you know, if we could benefit others or bring benefits to others through our actions of body, speech and mind. Well, basically means we, you know, use our body to benefit others. In other words, we engage in actions physically, verbally, and mentally, which bring benefits to others. So that's what we should strive to do. But if we couldn't benefit others, help others, at least in the minimum, we must not hurt others physically, verbally, and mentally.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. So she seemed to sound the tongue. And then that's so she can't do to do it. So now that I say, Kilipe, Munitoni, two times driven, getting Shagala, and it's on the money of a century to not take it out for the inner, but also tell like a chego or it, and they call it. So she only looked on what I, and they use some buttons, and they gave it for the broke on to the exam Congress.
So when we talk about spirituality or Dharma, it has a lot to do with thinking inside us and involves a lot of thinking and contemplation. Of course, the best is if we can dedicate our life completely into Dharma practice, study and practice of Dharma, which basically means we completely abandon worldly activities and worldly concerns. But that would be really, I think, very hard for most of us, because we need to go to work, we need to function in this world, so to speak. So as we go to work, we should see that, our actions of body, spirit, and mind do not harm anybody. As we go to work, we try to see that we could help or benefit others through our actions of body, speech, and mind. So that's how we can conduct our life, everyday life, in terms of Dharma or spirituality.
Sol mandro bacheni, any pember doya kusam tana, simt kechi bachanuris.
As I often remind ourselves that of our actions of body, speech, and mind, of all of the three things that each of us has got, body, speech, and mind, mind is the most important thing. And so what does it mean to engage in Dharma or spirituality in everyday life is that, whatever we are doing, we need to go to work, we need to go to school, we need to do all the things, but see that our mind, it stays in a positive state. We are able to direct our mind into positive thinking, positive actions, and we refrain our mind from negative thoughts, negative thinking, and negative actions. So that is how we cultivate Dharma in our everyday life. So as I mentioned earlier, that all of us needs to purify our mind of all the negativities that we have accumulated from very long time. And so we have accumulated innumerable negative karmic actions in relation to sentient beings, for instance. Of course, there are many methods in Buddhism which we could cultivate or use to get rid of negativities from our mind. Perhaps the two most powerful methods are cultivating love and cultivating compassion, for sentient beings. Now, when I say cultivating love and compassion here, in this context, we're talking about cultivating great love, Mahametri, and great compassion, Mahakaruna. And by definitions, great love and great compassion mean that we should extend equal love and compassion to all sentient beings without, any kind of discrimination. And so by cultivating great love and great compassion, we're able to counteract, you know, innumerable negativities that we have accumulated in relation to sentient beings. So we're able to purify, you know, innumerable negative karmas that we have accumulated in relation to sentient beings.
Mm. Compassion is indeed the
这个行给他忙不要了吧？比较当个忙不要了。现在都靠，还是个人呢。甚至动好了没呢？甚至动好了没呢？等着大家呢，等于得了，他把修三比他，你把修掌握就结果了。I believe that you know many people use the word or the term compassion. And we might, you know, act as if we understand what it means. But what do we mean by great compassion or Mahakaruna in Tibetan Nyingchi Chenpo here? Is this that we focus our mind on sentient beings who are going through suffering, and we sincerely wish from the bottom of our heart to see them free from, being freed of suffering. In other words, we wish sentient beings to be free from their suffering, and that that state of mind, that feeling is called great compassion. When we talk about cultivating great compassion is focused on all sentient beings. Literally, all is underlined, A-L-L, all. And so that means there is not a single sentient being that can be excluded from the focus of great compassion. Because, you know, often we, you know, maybe hear somebody say that, you know what, yeah, I know it's really important to cultivate, you know, compassion, great compassion, but I cannot do that with, you know, X, Y, and Z. So-and-so, I can do that. So-and-so, I just can't. Other than that, I could. Well, the thing is that if we exclude our one sentient being from the focus of great compassion, the great compassion is not great compassion. It is an incomplete great compassion. So that doesn't work. And so it's really, I mean, there's a tremendous challenge we go through in training our mind, because we need to regard all sentient beings as being equal, whether they are our friends, dear and near ones, or whether they are strangers, we don't know who the heck they are. Tishila didn't say who the heck they are, but you get the message. And we, and whether they are our number one enemies, you know, who just bring us so much trouble, as if that's the best job they can do. Geshe-la didn't say that too, but just to make the point. Our enemies. So we need to see, regard all sentient beings as being equal, and sincerely wish each of them to be free from their suffering. So that state of mind is so precious. That's what we call great compassion. So there is nobody to be excluded.
What's that? That? 嗯，对，上巴全部，上巴全部，他上巴新吉林为上巴工作站的呀，啊，你新吉干的几个呢？手里没把，电话他电不着，上巴他，你把账户写不得了，你，他上巴死了，他，新吉林为上巴。
And great love, Maha Maitri or Champa Chenpo in Tibetan, is a state of mind, or is a feeling, truly wishing all sentient beings, all underlined, sentient beings to be endowed with happiness and its causes. When we truly wish every sentient being, nobody to be excluded, nobody to be discriminated against, every sentient being to be happy, to have the causes of happiness, that state of mind is very precious. It's called great love.
Well, that is what I want to say.
So this is, will serve, I think, what I've just talked about, is intended to serve as a reminder for many of us who already know about these things. And, of course, this is maybe, a new lesson for people who are new to these teaching. So all of us, whether we are new to Buddhism or old to Buddhism, we need to contemplate and consider these issues.
No, less. That is in that the tension thing my students.
Now let me go back to where we left off in the Kadamba Geshe's wonderful teaching called Miscellaneous Collection of Great Kadamba Geshe's Advices. So remember, we are witnessing a question and answer session, if you will, between the great Indian master Atisha and three of his greatest disciples, Dromtenpa, Ngokten, and Kuten. So Dromtenpa, Ngokten, and Kuten, in Tibetan we just combine the name as, Kungok Dromsum. So they are posing questions to great Atisha, their mentor or the spiritual guru, and Atisha is answering their questions.
Oh yeah, that kind of thing, the natural samadhi,
And remember, they asked Atisha, what is the best path, complete enlightenment? Well, it seems like they ask only one simple question, like what is the best path? But of course, that question has many sides or dimensions to it. Almost asking what is the best kind of practitioner, what is the best, path, and so on. And so as we witnessed, Atisha, gave a long answer, to their question. So Atisha told them that first, the best expert, if you will, is one who realizes selflessness. So the one who realizes selflessness is the best expert, Kheba.
That's your answer. Kheba said the scholar.
And maybe in today's language we can say the best scholar. And of course, scholars can be of different kinds, right? I mean, somebody could be called scholar or many, but they may not be on the same level. From Buddhist perspective, one who is considered the best scholar, if you will, or the greatest scholar, or as I use, the best expert, is someone who has expertise in what is known as five sciences, five domains of knowledge, literally translating.
That man does in ali ting ngodap si ngodap si masyubi na ane tangbo tele darik pas darik mandrao ta de darik rikwil kebaji.
So what are the five sciences or the five domains of knowledge from Buddhist perspective? The first is called Taripa. You know, one who has expertise in what we call the grammars of language.
Taripa singi talipena. Manazo in the kill mando kiri mando kindo what is chango maris. Kiri mando that doesn't that you put in on do you are the yina. Dari ko siya ti ani pena ti krisa ta da kranke to ani ani ta kuju mangbu ta pena sunye la tukin da bini yorwa sanji sunle ma tin tin tene ma mangbu ti le to gores.
Although I mean the different languages are part of this category called Taripa, so that's why often we translate it as you know grammars of languages. But Geshe-la is trying to explain that it's not just only confined to grammars of language. It's not just a linguistic grammars, but it also deals with the sound system of the language. For example, in Buddhism, we talk about how an enlightened speech has 60 melodies. So all of those melodies and their qualities and how those are formed, and all of those sound systems are part of this domain of knowledge called Taripa.
That is what the Taripa is. Make cortes, but the major thing is make cortes, Taripa.
And the second science or the domain of knowledge is called Sovarigpa, the science of healing, or in other words, science of medicine.
That is Zorigpa. Repeat Zorigpa. That when Ngaranzong Jitian le Trapi in Zor Mangbuchi, Rimanda Mangbuchi, Yerbatan, Samala, Zorigpi Kung Dugures.
And then the third domain of knowledge, or we call it science, Rigpa, knowledge, domain of knowledge is Sorigpa, meaning arts and crafts. And another domain of knowledge or science is called Tensik Rigpa, science of reasoning. This is where we learn about all kinds of logic and rationality. So in Buddhism, this is a very extensive area where we can talk about different types of logic and reasoning.
Jang Rumbo ne pen chuan de kai king la kus jang rumbo ne ni to thong bu na ani tela ani me yo bat po go ta tin de de ta ge me yo bat tela ye tela me yo bat po ta tin de kon mang bu yo ris.
For example, in Buddhism, we use certain logic and reasoning to establish the existence of a phenomenon at a great distance that we do not see from this end. And so there are many great logics being used, and things which are, I should say, beyond our sensory perceptions in some sense. And one of the basic things, for example, is, at a great distance behind that hill, we can say there is fire because we see smoke, rising up from behind that hill. So by using smoke as a reasoning, we can establish the existence of fire, behind that hill, which we don't see from this end. Well, perhaps it's not much, in sense like, okay, if we can establish the existence of fire behind the hill, well, you could say, who cares? So what? What's the big thing about that? Well, that is just a kind of an example we use, but the more important thing is, based upon, all the suffering that we experience now, we can establish how we had accumulated negative karmas in the past lives. So it is through reasoning that we establish what we did in past lives.
Tanga na yike sendela ran tang yele debu de kibu yungu duna dishong hama ne ranki ane le sangbu sabita jebun mibate ane hako gores da dal tene shong hama rang le sangbu sabate gogo gores.
And based on the positive experiences of this lifetime, you know, whatever happiness and whatever comfort and good things happening in our life, we can establish what we did in our previous life, the good karmas that we did and accumulate in previous lifetimes. So basically we need to reason all things out. There are all kinds of reasoning, valid reasons that we use to establish an existence of a phenomena which we do not have direct access to now. And to give another example of a Buddhist logic is that if anything is produced, then that thing must be an impermanent phenomenon. So using product as a reasoning, we start to establish an object or a phenomenon as impermanent. So if something is established as impermanent, then we must also understand that an impermanent phenomenon, it disintegrates, it does not, stay static and, and exist forever. Well, then again, Keshala didn't say it, but just to make his point, he said, okay, somebody may say, okay, so what's the big deal if you can establish a phenomenon or object that's impermanent through reasoning? Again, what is this big deal you're talking about? Well, the big deal is not so much that we can establish a phenomenon that's impermanent, but now, you see, use the same reasoning to understand our own life. So now if we can establish that our life is impermanent based upon authentic reasoning, then we got to understand that our life disintegrates, it is changing all the time, so we cannot grasp at the permanence of life. Just figure that one out. Life is impermanent. And then another domain of knowledge or science is called the science of mind. Now this is where we talk about all different types of mind and Buddhist paths, you know, all the structure of the paths leading to different states of realization.
So it's
now of these five domains of knowledge or five sciences, of course the most important one is the science of mind. So someone who has expertise in the science of mind or the science of inner phenomena, literally translating Nangripa in Tibetan, then that person is the real expert or the scholar. So now going back to what great artist has said, the best expert or the greatest scholar, Kebe Cho, the top of the line scholar, is someone who has realized selflessness.
So
why is this realizing selflessness such a big deal. If you wonder, well, why is such a big deal? Is because that when we look at the Four Noble Truths, while Buddha's first sermon or the teaching on the Four Noble Truths, there are two truths that we need to abandon, the truth of suffering and the truth of cause of suffering. So in order to get rid of those two truths that we do not want, we need to realize true path. In other words, we need to realize what selflessness is. So therefore, it is a big deal, because through realizing selflessness, we can free ourselves from suffering and its causes. As great Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti states clearly in his supplement to the Middle Way or Madhyamik Avatar, it's a treatise. And as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, and Chandrakirti said, you know, the reason why he taught, meaning Buddha taught, two selflessnesses, the selflessness of a person and the selflessness of phenomena, is because he wants sentient beings to be liberated from suffering. So realizing the two types of selflessness or selflessnesses is the great liberator, because it liberates you from suffering. Well, when we talk about how, you know, everything that exists is devoid of self, we must not equate selflessness as meaning complete non-existence. Because selflessness is not the same as things don't exist at all, because that is a denial. You see, so we do not want to fall into a nihilistic view, extreme nihilism. By saying that phenomena are selfless, we are not saying that phenomena do not exist at all. Everything that exists, it must exist conventionally, but that it must not exist ultimately. That's what we're talking about. In terms of ultimate truth, phenomena do not exist, but conventionally, they do exist. Well, these are not easy to understand, but nonetheless, we have to deal with these issues. But as we, you know, familiarize ourselves with these matters, then as time goes by, it becomes easier for us to understand, the true truth, conventional truth and ultimate truth. So therefore, those who have realized the selflessnesses, they are the best expert or the greatest scholar. We have not yet realized selflessness, but if we do kind of wonder what selflessness is, and if direct our mind to understand what selflessness is in a positive direction, that's what I meant, then that kind of state of mind itself, although we don't realize selflessness yet, but because of our mind tended towards what selflessness is, that state mind of is so powerful to shake the world of samsara.
Well, that can see, tambu makan nang bati ini, lain nang bati ini berhid hid sabse.
So that is my commentary on the, what Adisha said first. What does it mean to be the best scholar?
Nonas. Tan nimba tirdas. Tan nimba kare sana. Churan su kasi tiyo arvas. Chumbe cho. Ani sim ran the simju tawa di is kanan was.
And then the second one, now I believe that you already took notes of this. Adisha said, the one who is most subdued or most disciplined, I might have used that word, independent, is the one who has disciplined his or her mind, one who has subdued his or her mind. Now, what does it mean to subdue one's mind or to discipline one's mind? What it means is like, you know, the subdue has a sense of making our mind peaceful, right? Because our mind is very much disrupted and disturbed by negative emotions or delusions such as anger, attachment, hatred, ignorance, any other form of delusion. You know? So when we subdue our mind, of course the best case would be someone who has completely abandoned delusions from within his or her mind. Now that is really the great subdued mind. But even if the delusions are there in our mind, if we do not let delusions control our mind, if we do not let delusions dictate our mind, then, you see, we could still say that we are subduing our mind or our mind is being disciplined.
So that the Ibas, Tanda Lamrung Namdu was, Ane Gishimbe Konjake, Ane Nge, Ane Nyomoke, Ane Gola, Nyembo Dungtung Zani, Zuni, Tawan Dosi Devi is Kanang Yoras.
As one of the greatest Kadamba Geshe's or the masters by the name of Geshe Bekunchen said, he said in a very metaphorical sense, he said, I always stand at the mouth of the cave of my delusions with a spear of antidote in my hand. In other words, Geshe Ben said that he always stand at the door of the delusions with a spear in his hand, spear of antidotes in his hand as a weapon. When they get tough and rough and wild, they meaning delusions, then, you know, he applies more aggressively his antidotes. In other words, he poke the delusions with his spear of antidotes. When they rest, then he rest.
You know. Say that. So that.
So every day we need to look at our mind. We have to examine our mind.
Rang
There is an interesting, book of advices in Tibetan. Maybe you don't know about it. It's called the Kachapalu's Advice, and these are the pearls of wisdom from Kachapalu. And so in the advices he said, when you are in a crowd, meaning with other people, you know, you should watch out your mouth. That means just, you know, watch out what you are saying, just watch your mouth. But when you are alone, he said, watch your mind. And I think he got the truth there.
And then
he also said in a very kind of a poetic way, which I can't capture in translation, he said that if you are not careful with this rat thing in your mouth, if you wiggle your tongue too much, then you might get a, you know, nice beating on your round head. You know? So those of us who live in the, you know, society, I think those are really good advices we need to pay attention to. I think those are helpful advices.
That's something I answer in that three junior around the same Tachishi. Tachishi is a Tachishi, Tachishi and Yajia Maris. And the mindfulness is using those, and those seven occasions they gave you this seven typical K-Amaris. When it only the same taxation, and we give you short dogs in the Paka, give you short dogs in the 30, and it's a long scene in those years, you get that? Race.
Often, you know, we may talk about, you know, mindfulness in what we do and think and all that. And, you know, often some people, you know, they talk about, oh, I'm practicing mindfulness. And all the things they list are all the things, you know, they remember to do or not, you know, stuff like that. Oh, I remember this. I remember doing that. What? But that, in some sense, is not a great thing. I mean, it's just a laundry list of what you remember. But when we talk about real mindfulness practice, what we're really thinking about is being mindful of our state of mind. If our mind is following negative, you know, path, then we should, you know, bring our mind back home, so to speak. But if our mind is following positive thinking, let it go, you know, let it do the positive thing. So, you know, mindfulness in this sense has a real meaning. Not because mindfulness meaning that I remember doing this, that, and, you know, those, and, you know, but that's, you know, not much of a thing, a meaning.
Well, that's somebody. You need to cook.
And third thing, Atisha said that the best quality, I'm literally translating here, is someone who is very kind to others. So kind in the sense of the kindness as a state of mind, especially someone who really has or is cultivating great love and great compassion for others, so that person is truly kind and caring. So being compassionate, being loving, you know, through these positive attitudes of kindnesses, that we are able to purify lots of our own negativities.
So
how is that, if you wonder? Now when we when we do negative things and accumulate negative things, mostly, as I said, in relation to sentient beings, right? We think negatively about others, we say something negative to them, and we do something negative to them. So that's how we create and accumulate negativities. Now, if we think something positively, you know, we extend our love to them, compassion to them, of course, these positive states of mind counteract the negative states of mind that we had before. So that's how cultivating positive states of mind is considered as the best quality one could have. And we will stop there today. Kem tu shuwe tada kya?
Hala.
Kem tu shuwe yada?
Wari tati na.
Kisla has been asked for some prayers, and Joanne Rialto passed away due to cancer. And so we need to pray for her, and also Lizzie Hart. I don't know whether what's her problem. Maybe I think she's very ill. So I guess I would like to ask all of you to join in the prayers for them.
Nonas. Chadong Golin, Aleta tambo de chinda na karasete dedike chinda
no
ta ngara so ne tarang choki endo chine le chinda chuchini chibe ki zawla tene sanji tembar ba cheta ji yirin de ne ba kyo ani jaw yigin no che be tenji chibe tamba na che kuzi ja be tembo to ti ji yin de ta na me me shun do yong wa kyo ani chuji sho pomon na ji chindi shaw na ngi chen du ba ta ji ti ji kam de da yin do min te bi gu chota da yin ni tin ji lu zu da me me shun do yong wa kyo.
Whatever merit that we have accumulated together this morning, we dedicate it for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. We dedicate our merit for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters. May they live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Mona Dona, Maggie Sinji Tongi, Dumi Sinji Bale Tone, Saji Kumbaramuji Tobi Jurchiki.
In short, we dedicate our collective merit, positive karma, for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration to personal liberation and obscuration to omniscience, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Yeah.
I have two announcements to make. Announcement one, any would like to, you know, any help you could give us right after the teaching to put stamps on our newsletters and mail them. So please, you know, she needs extra hands. So any volunteers to do that, we appreciate that. And the second announcement is, you know, Geshe-la has, you know, a student from Europe visiting him because this year Geshe-la couldn't go to Europe, so his students are coming here. And so they would like to invite Geshe-la for lunch, so I would ask people to postpone your visit to Geshe-la.
Except the one. Come up, okay? Let's quick. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank you.